What does Ikwensu Orja mean?
White devil.
Well, tell them I'm not.
I've only met you. How do I know? Ikwensu Orja! Ikwensu Orja! He said...
Let me guess. White devil?
Yes. You speak what you do.
Tell them what I'm saying. I come in peace!
Ikwensu Orja, Uza, Inkoso Zana.
I couldn't help but notice that Ikwensu Orja part. Did you just refer to me as White Devil?
This how they know you.
Leave that part out from now on. From now on.
Black Black Almighty Triple XL coming to you live on a record from MagnaCity.com.
Check 1-2, Fat Mac, all my Triple XL. Back in the game, man. Back in the motherfucking game. Okay, Tony, I got $1 million question for you, man. I got $1 million question for you. Are you ready for it? You ready? Are your synapses, are your neurons firing, bruh? You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, then. What do you think about Sonnetter TV and the whole concept of Sonnetter possibly being an agent and being infiltrated by the FBI and COINTELPRO and all that? Because I'm seeing some weird shit going on right now where within that community, how they want to actually, you know, it seems like the alpha blood for African Bambaataa to actually get him iced. You know what I mean? There's a lot of cats talking about getting him killed and all of this shit. Do you think that this is prime, you know, real estate, or this is a really good opportunity for the feds to get involved, is kind of like do some damage to the conscious community? Or you think that this conscious community really ain't worth the effort?
Well, let me answer your first question.
Okay.
Your best infiltrators, I study COINTELPRO.
Okay.
Don't just study COINTELPRO. Study Operation Chaos, COINTELPRO, Lantern Spike, and, you know, the New York Police Department's program, BOSS.
Right.
It's Bureau of Special Services and Intelligence. BOSS, your boss. And their best agents were always the pro-black niggas, man. Mm. Their best agents. The number one top agent was always the pro-black / dusty street nigga agent.
Okay.
The conscious people were always the best infiltrators. They were always the one, because they had the instant credibility. They knew the language, the customs, and, you know, the speech of the community. They had a certain support in the community because of their position. In other words, the system would say, look, you stand over here and you yell this. Mm-hmm. And you stand over here and you yell this. But they always control both of them. And they were used to draw people into these organizations that really didn't do anything. Or if they did anything, they rubbed out people that were doing something. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it wasn't the Los Angeles Police Department that killed Al Prentice Bunchy Carter. It was people from the US organization that killed Bunchy Carter.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
It was these niggas dressing in bubbles and dashikis and shaving their head, red, black, and green beads. Those were the ones that were being used to kill Al Prentice Bunchy Carter.
Right.
It wasn't necessarily, although it was a convergence. Manny Marable calls it a convergence of interests. In Malcolm X's case, they were never, five white men weren't going to come in there and kill Malcolm X. That just wasn't going to happen.
Right.
Because, you know, something like that would incite a race war. So they used the zealotry of some low IQ niggas that were conscious to come in there and kill Malcolm.
Right.
You know, and this is a pattern that happens in any society where people are struggling against an oppressor. So with that being said, it is quite possible that this man could be an agent. Whether he is or not, I don't know.
Right.
I'm saying that it's possible.
Right.
Because this is the playbook.
Yeah.
This is the playbook. And as Dr. Tyrone Power said, he said that when they, you know, he said, well, you know, this stuff is still going on. And he said the FBI agent told him, of course it's going on. Of course it's still going on. Why would we stop a program that's so successful? Why would we stop using tactics that were so successful?
Right.
You know, why would they stop doing it? So if they haven't stopped doing it, and this is their tactic, you know that there are people. Matter of fact, Geronimo Pratt said this. He said that these people that are talking, that are in your face, talking about the white folks this and the white folks that, he said that's a mistake. Geronimo said our enemies cannot be defined by color. He said a lot of times you better watch that brother and sister right next to you talking about the white folks this, the white folks that. So it's very possible that man could be. It's very possible. I don't rule it
right
out of the realm of it's entirely possible. Mm-hmm. It's not something I would rule out.
Okay.
Matter of fact, I've heard that about him for the last 3-4 years.
Right.
That he was in fact an informant. I wouldn't say agent because they wouldn't let no nigga like that be an agent.
Okay.
He's probably an informant or what they call an asset.
Okay.
Because that's the term that they use, informant or asset.
Right.
You know, the bureau, what have you. So it's quite possible. I haven't seen any evidence, but it wouldn't surprise me.
Well, answer this, like, I've never really kind of like understood what the perks are of being a asset. I mean, what do these niggas get out of being an asset? I mean, they get some sort of immunity.
Here's how it works. I'm explaining it to you.
Okay.
There's a guy by the name on the internet. You should go see it. There's a guy by the name. Matter of fact, I'll send you a link.
Mm-hmm.
A guy by the name of Darthar Perry.
Okay.
Okay.
Right.
He's the man known as Othello. That's the man that Tariq Nasheed was talking about.
Okay.
What happens is it could be a lot of different triggers. There's no one trigger that turns these people or make them do what they do.
Right.
Sometimes it could be petty jealousies.
All right.
Sometimes it could be the feeling of importance.
Okay.
You know, they down with the FBI, you know. You know, they got backup, they got people. It makes it look like they're more powerful and important than what they really are.
Okay.
Some people do it because, what was the term? I think Che Guevara said, some people like mechanized discipline. They like being the cop, you know. They like being able to lord their power over other people.
Mm-hmm.
Some people think it's prestigious. Some people think there's a status that comes from it. And some people are rewarded for it.
Okay.
For example, in the case of Geronimo Pratt and Julio Butler, Julio Butler was in the part and he was the snitch that helped put Geronimo in jail.
Mm.
And he was working off, he claimed that's where the evidence against Geronimo came from, because he claimed that Geronimo came to him and confessed to killing these people, even though these people had picked out two different assailants at a lineup. The husband had picked up, because the wife died, the husband had picked out two different people at a lineup, you know, of the assailants. But this man, in his case, he had caught a machine gun charge. He caught a machine gun charge.
Right.
And he was working that off. And so what happened was he agreed to become an informant so he wouldn't go to prison.
Mm.
And when he became an informant, he worked that charge off. And not only that, he was somehow able to go to law school.
Hmm.
You know, and he became a respectable member of the community. He was on the deacons and the trustees board of that church in Los Angeles, the one that the skinheads was going to bomb back in the 90s.
Right.
The first AME church in Los Angeles. He had become a very prominent member of the community. So those people that are tried and true assets tend to profit in the long term with respect to associating or being assets of the Bureau.
Okay.
Then there are those people who they are allowed to run their own show. Like a lot of these pro-black niggas. If you run in a program, I'll give you an example. The thing that got Al Prentice Carter, the reason Al Prentice Bunchy Carter got killed that day on UCLA campus is, the UCLA campus had opened up this high potential program where they were taking, you know, these black people out of the hood and giving them education and, you know, testing their ability for upward to be successful, to prosper. And that's what this program was about. It was a poverty pen program.
Okay.
Well, this program had an executive position open that was budgeted $20,000 a year back in 1968. That was a lot of money. And so the person who controlled that position was going to have access to that money. Well, it was two different organizations vying for control on that campus. Bunchy thought he didn't want an organization full of just street niggas. He thought of a true division of labor. He wanted a division of black people that were, you know, what they call declassed intellectuals, people that were thinking. He wanted an integration of people that, you know, were intellectually astute and people that were street brothers. He wanted a harmonious blend of each sector. So he thought that if he could infiltrate the campus and get some of that brain power, they would be able to develop the Southern California chapter and take it to the next level.
Okay.
However, the person who got that position was going to get that executorship and get that money. That's what that fight was really about. The students, Milana Karinga was bullying his way on the campus. He would go to the campus and tell people, I'll tell you what you need. You don't decide what you need. You know, I'll tell you what you need. And he had those Simba Wachuca niggas to back that shit up.
Right.
And so Bunchy was like, you know, no, we're not going to clash with them, but we're just going to out-organize them. And what wound up happening was the students chose the Panthers over the US organization. And that kicked, and then something happened with Elaine Brown and one of the other members of the US organization, and that kicked off the murder. That was the spark that initiated the murder. But the point being was that in that case, it was a position with money and influence. Okay.
Okay.
Then you have people like Dr. R. Perry. He was going to school, and it was one thing that led to another. He got entrapped. What happened was he had gotten out of the military. He had actually been in intelligence, one of the few black people that had ever had anything to do with military intelligence. He had been in military intelligence, and he had gotten out of, you know, the military. And he was going to school at UCLA on a sort of GI Bill program. And his checks, they had delayed his checks so he couldn't get access to his money, to his, you know, his GI Bill money or his veteran stipend checks.
Yeah.
And so they intentionally delayed the distribution of his checks so that he would have to find another way to get money. Well, somebody magically appeared and sold him this oscilloscope, whatever that shit is. I don't know exactly what it is, but they sold him this high-priced-ass oscilloscope for a low amount of money on the streets at the exact moment that he needed some money. So he buys this shit and then goes to the pawn shop to try to pawn it until the checks come, and that's how he got caught up, because they said that the oscilloscope was stolen.
Okay.
So then the FBI agent came to him and said, you know, because he got a lawyer, and the lawyer got him misdemeanor probation. Well, the FBI went behind the lawyer, and they were able to use the probation officer and get switched from misdemeanor probation to where he didn't have to report. He could give a phone call. They got it changed to felony probation.
Dang.
And when he missed the appointment that he didn't know about, they had him by the balls.
Damn.
And they just started squeezing him.
Okay.
So for him, it was survival.
Okay.
For him, it was survival. For them other niggas, it was money and position.
Okay.
And for the other cat, you know, he got long-term prosperity from it.
Right.
Or, in some instances, they will use that to absolutize themselves. There's a interview of Malcolm with the FBI, where he actually recorded them. And they came to try to turn him. And they wanted information on membership. They wanted to know, you know, who was in the nation, what their role was, and all that. Malcolm told them, you insult your intelligence if you think I would tell you anything. And then they're telling me, I said, well, money usually gets the information. He said, well, no, I'm not interested in that. I wouldn't know anything about that. This is him refusing to sell out Elijah Muhammad. And so when then the FBI agent said, well, you know, you could accrue other certain benefits in that we could eliminate people. In other words, kill off your competition. You know, right. So if you help us, we will wipe out the Nation of Islam for you.
Right.
We will eliminate your competition and you will stand alone atop, you know, the leadership of Black America in the North is what they're essentially saying. We can take them off your back. Now, if they made that same deal with, if they made that deal with him, you know they made that same deal with the NOI.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's clear that somebody took the bait. So there are many different reasons that the people can be, there's no one thing. Tyrone Power said it this way on Tony Brown's Journal. He said, you got to understand. They asked him, he said, well, how would people do this, Dr. Powers? He said, you got to understand. He said, I could make a mother turn on her own son. He said, how is that possible? He said, because I have unlimited resources to turn you. I have unlimited resources and unlimited influence to flip you to do what I want you to do. He said, I could go to a mother and tell the mother, look, your son is associating with some dangerous people, you know, and he's going to, you know, wind up in prison and he's going to get all of y'all, you know, on conspiracy charges, so forth and so on. But, you know, I can help you out of this. And to people that are afraid of the system, don't know nothing about the system, can't wrap their mind around military ideas or military, you know, philosophy, and they're afraid of the system, they're going to cave every time.
Right.
You understand? So sometimes it could be fear. Sometimes it could be bitches. Sometimes it could be money.
Man.
You know, okay. Sometimes it could be power, or sometimes it could be the illusion or the perception of power. So there's no one thing that will cause anybody to flip. It's just finding, what did Robert Greene say in the 48 Laws of Power? Find out what each man's thumb screw is and turn it.
Exactly.
hands like I'm Imhotep. Application of mind over matter. Make full scatter, rhymes fatter, mind splatter. Your girl been over and over and over. MCs try to test the damage, but you just can't win. Excellent with the wordplay. You lay face down when my mind spreads. No help from Mad Max. Lyrics like hype tattoos go over the dope tracks. We booby traps, all our inventions. We know the intentions of MC kleptomaniacs. Rap brainiacs, had cardiac soon after the attack. When it comes to rhyming, I slam harder than Shaq. Accomplished the biofeedback, more complex than an almanac. Keep you up like an aphrodisiac. Idealist, not an opportunist. Don't molest no shorty, still in awe. I'm dangerous mentally. You can't talk to me, hear me, or see me. See me. You're not equipped from street blocks to cell blocks. My vocals rock, do more work than a crackhead with a toolbox. Jeru, never touch ya, microphone wrecker. If your honey's a queen, I'll sex her. More important, the mind strikes like the nine strikes. A priest by me, you reach for your Uze when my mind spreads. It's a horror to you, lyrical kung fu, so do your kung fu if you know kung fu. Dirty, down low profile, shoot up jams without the aid of lead projectiles. Styles ridiculous, techniques infamous, take more heads than Santa Claus at Christmas. Science misfits, meet the wrath of my wit, immediately following, they go into a conniption fit. Reach into my bag of darkness and spark this like an arsonist, blow it up like a terrorist. I'm not a sexist, don't have the power to be a racist, I'm a scientist and an activist. Complex yet simple like Mixu Clicks. Unlike the silly devil, I don't come with tricks. So I bid all ye MCs return to the righteous way or meet death face to face when my mind spreads.
Dig, this thing is kind of perplexing me, right? Because, you know, me and you both students of the game, man. You know, we've studied, like, you know, NOI. We've studied, like, Dr. York and Nuwabuians. I can't never pronounce that shit right. But, you know, and I've even studied up on Yahweh being Yahweh down there on the compound, Liberty City in Florida, man. And especially going back to Dr. York, because we know he got locked up, you know, on these alleged so-called, you know, baby raping charges, right? Okay, so now we have, you know, this always did perplex me about this whole shit, because Sarnetta and them going at Bambaataa real hard, man, over this alleged child molestation shit. And once again, I'm going to go on record, and I'm going to say, if there is no proof of this man actually doing this shit, you know what I mean, if there's no concrete proof, if it's just hearsay, you know what I mean, no matter how many people coming out saying it, you know, he's innocent to me. Period. You know what I'm saying? Even though, like I said, it looks bad circumstantially, you know, I'm still going to go ahead and rock with him on some innocent shit, because to me, it's just hearsay right now. But yet and still, Sarnetta and the whole Sarnetta TV crew, like Polite and Dr. I can't remember his first name, but Muhammad or whatever. All the crew is going at Bambaataa hard, and there's even been
I can see why they would do it.
Say what?
I can see why they would do it.
Good, because you think it's like some sort of competition joint or what?
Well, it establishes their credibility.
Right.
If you're able to take down a major cultural icon, because Africa Bambaataa is a cultural icon.
Right.
In American popular culture in general, but especially in Black popular culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody knows that it's something powerful about Bambaataa, even if they don't know his history.
Right.
So I could see somebody like that coming for Bambaataa, because now it makes them relevant.
Right.
Because if you take down a lion in the culture like Bambaataa, you get instant credibility.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. See.
Yeah.
That's the old Mylana Karinga, us versus Black Panther thing. Not that Zulu Nation is the Black Panthers. I'm just, you know, making sort of, you know, making the analysis or whatever. Mm-hmm. But if you take down somebody like that, then he has all type of credibility. Now what will happen is people will start to look at his program and people will start to buy into whatever he's selling. He could be selling them beachfront property near the Brooklyn Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll...
Hello?
The system understands that that's the herd mentality.
Okay.
They're very good at understanding the herd mentality. That once you get one person, you know, using influencers, once one person in the neighborhood that people look up to join you, then the rest of them are going to come. So if they're able to knock Bambaataa off, then what happens now is they get a segment of people that say, well, you know what, he must be for real because, you know, he went at this major cultural icon and he was doing it from a position of, see, they don't even see his motivation.
Right.
They just think he's doing it because he's a good person.
Okay.
You understand?
Right.
So if one person come out and said, well, you, and they start mentioning him on Tom Joyner and they start mentioning him on black radio, now he got a whole new constituency of people that would nevertheless give him the time of day.
Right.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So now, once those social influencers start to swing to him, everybody else is going to come and listen to whatever he's saying, and he can create a platform and absolutize himself.
Mm. Okay, yeah, but I just found it really strange because, you know, Polite is, of course, you know, one of the figureheads of Sonetta TV. And, of course, Polite, he was a student of Dr. York, you know what I mean? And of course, Dr. York has these, you know, had this bad situation about him molesting children. And Polite, to this day, still defends Dr. York. Now, Sonetta TV, they're basically coming at, you know, Bambaataa, and they're saying all this stuff about him being guilty. You know, I mean, to them, they feel he's guilty. You know what I mean? But the thing is, like I said, I just find it disingenuous how they basically give him Polite a pass, and they're not really giving, you know, they're not really sticking Polite the way. How can I put this? You see what I'm saying? There's a hypocrisy.
Yeah, they're not putting screws to Polite.
Yeah.
For defending Dr. York,
right,
while at the same time attacking or standing by while Sonetta attacks Bambaataa.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm like, that's not adding up to me, man. It's like, you know, you should be consistent all the way across the board with this shit. You know what I mean? And like I say, Polite is real quiet. I really haven't heard too much about, he hasn't really expressed himself too much on this issue. And I think I know why. You know what I'm saying? I think he want to skirt this. You know, I don't think he wants no part of this situation. Because, damn, I'm like, really? If you're going to go hard on Bambaataa, you know what I mean? But, yeah, and still kind of like give Polite a pass. Because by them giving Polite a pass, they, in all intents and purposes, they giving Dr. York a pass. You know what I mean? Because
for Bambaataa what you're doing for York.
Exactly.
All right, well, let me tell you something, man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you, the conscious community is still, they abhor objectivity.
Right.
Mm. I'm just going to tell you that off rip. The conscious community abhors objectivity.
Mm.
Sometimes rightly so, but most times not rightly so.
Okay.
They abhor any standard of objectivity. They do.
Mm.
Any standard of balance or consistency, they do. They abhor objectivity. They are explicitly subjective because it allows them to be explicitly biased, even in positions that are untenable and unpractical.
Right.
That's the madness of the conscious community. That is the insanity of the conscious community. Because any position that's practical, it allows them to take a position against it based upon their emotions. Based upon their dogma,
right,
and ideology, as opposed to the facts of, that's one of the standard flaws of the so-called conscious or pro-black community. It infantilizes them. It allows them to be walking imbeciles.
Mm. Man.
So when you go into them asking for them for objectivity, they don't want to be objective. It's almost like they are the equivalent of stupid white conservatives.
Okay.
I keep telling you, they cut from the same goddamn cloth. theology is not really different if you melt it. No. They cut from the same cloth. They reserve the right to be objectively stupid and inconsistent. So if you're sitting there looking for, you know, objectivity or consistency from that group of people, that's like looking for a paycheck from a hood rat.
Okay.
You ain't gonna get that. It's not gonna happen. Because they reserve the right to be explicitly subjective. In other words, they reserve the right to be biased.
Right.
Whenever they feel like it. Mm-hmm. That's not always a bad thing, but a lot of times it's not a good thing either.
Shoot.
So no, he's not going to say it. No, he's not going to. Why would he cross that guy and he's on that guy's channel?
Exactly.
He's a figurehead. He's not going to do that. Right. Because that goes against his personal interests. Mm-hmm. And it may even go against his, you know, his ideological interests or his ideology. Because if you defend him, then you have to defend him. But if Sinetta is not defending Bambaataa, or if he's attacking Bambaataa, you know, he'll look like a hypocrite in the conscious community for attacking Bambaataa and not attacking York.
Mm-hmm.
So he's doing, you know, he's keeping his mouth shut because he knows the position is up. He knows he can't hold the line. He knows that he can't hold the line objectively. Mm-hmm. He knows that he can't. And you probably won't see him, you know, say much. And he was in a feud with Dr. Umar Johnson a while back.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's they eat their own, man. They eat their own. You know, that's how you know it's open profiteering and self-interest. There's nothing wrong with them making money off of their beliefs. But hustling and profiteering is something entirely different. If you're not sincere in your beliefs. So I don't know whether he is or not. I'm just explaining
right. That
a lot of times what happens is don't look for consistency with these because you're not going to find it. It's just not there. Mm-hmm. Don't look for consistency. Don't look for objectivity. Even if he were to come out and say, well, in this case with Bambaataa, this is the reason why I won't support Bambaataa, and this is the reason why I supported your. At least he can say that.
Right.
But the people over here that support Bambaataa going to say, well, wait a minute, there's no difference. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, the people on the other side going to say it's worse because he raped male children.
Right.
You see, it's an impossible position for him to tread.
Right.
You know, that goes into what I was telling you before. When you get off into this pro-black ideology, you paint yourself into a corner. You put yourself in a box, in a straitjacket, that you can't get out if you're using independent or free thinking.
Mm. Well, check this out. This is the main thing that I find really troubling, man. It seems like all of a sudden in the conscious community, man, all across the board, there's a lot of fuck shit going on. Just like how we was talking about the Griff Zaza Ali shit. Now, basically, what I'm hearing between the Griff Zaza Ali, because there was that accusation that she had put out Griff's address, right? Remember that?
I had heard that.
Right.
I had heard whispers of that.
Okay, but now all of a sudden there's a lot of rumblings coming back talking about, no, she did not do that. There's guys coming out in her defense saying that, no, she didn't do, you know, how they would know, how they wouldn't know, I don't know. But yet still, you know, this is classic CIA shit, man, where basically someone in the CIA or the FBI could have easily went ahead and disseminated and gave out Griff's, like, address or personal information and could have blamed it on Zaza. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then get shit rumbling. And then, of course, now you got all this shit going on with Sonetta TV and Bambaataa. And, you know, it's just, it's real, like I say, behind the scenes, classic CIA sneaky shit going around. Just, you know, doing underhanded shit to get everybody in fighting and squabbling and shit. I don't know, what's your take on that? Do you think that these organizations are even important enough?
The CIA is interested in Zaza Ali.
Well, not necessarily Zaza Ali.
I don't think the CIA, listen, man.
Right.
If an intelligence operation is going on.
Right.
If one is going on, it would probably be the New York City Police Department.
Right.
Because you can't look at the black community now and tell me people are following that stuff.
Right.
There's no conscious community is a very, very small marginal collective in black society.
Right.
Very, very small marginal collective. So that's not really, and most of those organizations are infiltrated anyway.
Right.
You understand?
Yeah.
Because those are the first organizations that you infiltrate. Those are the first people you get in line.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think they're as concerned about the FBI, the CIA are as concerned about. They're not concerned about that. What they are concerned about is something with respect to what happens in the life of the everyday working person of color.
Mm-hmm.
Or the everyday working class white person. That's what they, because that's the true potential for revolt in society, not the conscious community. With that being said, if there is a program involved, it would be by the New York Police Department. And you can see that basically it would take little or nothing to burn that community to the ground.
Right.
Because for all this talking about consciousness, I mean, they don't have an infrastructure. They don't have organization.
Right.
They have YouTube platforms. They have social media platforms. And they have a smattering of people in dispersed areas that listen to them and maybe support them and follow them. But they don't have any thriving organization. Mm-hmm. They're not the UNIA. They're not the NOI. They're not the Black Panther Party. They're not the NAACP. This is a small collective of people that's going to get together, for the most part, in libraries and bookstores. They don't have any influence or stroke politically in their local communities. They damn sure don't have anything statewide or nationwide. So it's not really up to them to really do that. This is probably, if it's something, it's some shit the New York City police is doing because they're bored.
But also, isn't it, you know, COINTELPRO's mission to basically cut down movements before they even get big?
Yes, but here's the problem.
Right.
When you say cut down movements before they get big, let's start with the objective of COINTELPRO. They said the Black Messiah thing, that was one thing. But there was also, like you said, to stop the growth of these movements.
Mm-hmm.
That objective has already been accomplished with this false form of integration that does not integrate the wealth, but the constant barrage of, you know, affluence and success and prosperity to a group of people that don't know anything about Robert Franklin Williams, the Deacons for Defense, the Black Panther Party. They don't even know anything about Martin Luther King or Malcolm X other than their names and the caricature that the system is painting of them. So when you start talking about a movement, the very genesis, they've already gotten to the babies. They've already gotten to the babies. So you go and ask the average black teenager, who is E.D. Nixon? They couldn't tell you.
Right.
They know Rosa Parks because, you know, they're introduced to that shit during black history, but they don't know anything tangible. Some of them do. And they'll say, well, some of these young people do know. Yeah, they know, but they know a very limited amount of information, and they damn sure don't study it, you know, consistently or progressively to learn and look at the whole thing, you know, through different perspectives, because I can see that because of the image that we have of the civil rights movement. We're still thinking that the civil rights movement didn't have an economic platform when they did. We still think that the civil rights movement was just about integration, and it was not. There were many different facets and phases of that movement. So I bring it up to say that people don't understand. It goes back to what I said before. People don't understand history because they don't read history. And when you are toying with people's history, that is a way of toying with people's minds.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? It's a form of propaganda, brainwashing, and mind control. Because you can say, well, they can kill a movement. What movement? You take for granted, or you're functioning under the assumption that they have the strands to create a movement.
Okay.
You, that they are of the, they know that they broke.
All right.
and know that they broke, but there's no connection to that history of struggle. That's what I'm saying. So there has to be some type of ideology, some type of connection to a struggle in order for you to have a movement. A movement is informed or is created by some ideology, but that ideology has been distorted. It's been mixed up. It's been so badly misconstrued to the point where, you know, it's just easy for them to turn on reality television. Because those people, in their backward nature, stand for something. It's just about making money. It's just not the right thing, but they stand for something. They stand for celebrity, power, fame, and money. You know, so through the propagation of popular culture, you know, they're able to wash away any semblance of any type of movement. That's my point. So when you say kill a movement before it got started, they've already done that, man. They did that when they destroyed those organizations in the 60s and the Crips and the Bloods came. Yeah. Matter of fact, there was a statement by a man that said that the Crips and Bloods are the bastards. And this is a direct quote. The Crips and the Bloods are the bastards of the organizations of the late 1960s. Mm. Bastards. Think about what that word means. Bastards. Mm. Without a father.
Right.
And we know what happens when you don't have a father most of the time. Mm. See, so when you say movement, what movement? Because they're able to paint them. This is the very thing that has been used. You got people, scholars like Ivan Van Sertiman, Chick Antajim, Chancellor Williams, John Henry Clark, Dr. Yosef Ben Yakin, Robin Walker, John G. Jackson, all these people that are scholars, and they are scholars beyond the Edward Scobie, they are scholars beyond Renoko Rashid, they are scholars beyond, they have mastered their craft. They're on another level with the type of research and information that the world know that is accurate. Mm-hmm. They have more respect when they go to Europe, when they go to France, than they do when they come to the United States.
No.
Why? Because in the United States, all someone has to say in order to disregard whatever they're saying, they came up with a term called Afrocentrism. That's a dog whistle. Right. When you use that word Afrocentrism, you can immediately discard whatever they're talking about as far as the masses are concerned. You understand?
Right.
So if you're able to marginalize people by saying Afrocentrism, and everybody knows that that's a term for made-up scholarship used to make black people feel good.
Right.
It's just a bunch of pseudo-intellectual junk. That's what the term means, but that's not what they're teaching. What they're teaching is fact-based, and it's researched, searched and researched and researched and researched to the point of exhaustion. It is indisputable fact all over the globe except America, where the mainstream can paint it under this patronizing and disrespectful label of Afrocentrism. So if it's something that's made up or pseudo, and it's not going to make you any money, it's not something for you to really study, it's not going to help you get a job, it's not going to help you be successful. So any group that forms around it is an irrelevant group. It's just something you do to make yourself look cool in conversation.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? There is no movement. There's no movement. It's just something where they just, you know, sit down, get together and talk, and you debate, you see how smart this guy is, and so forth and so on. But in terms of a serious movement, there's none, because none of those conscious groups have a platform. Mm. Give me one platform and program that they have. Mm. I'll wait.
So basically, what you're saying is, it's just nigga shit that's causing all of this fuckery that, you know, has nothing to do with government subversive programs.
The government could be amping it for a laugh. Uh-huh. I wouldn't put it past them.
Right.
Fuck it, let's just play with these niggas and see what they're doing.
Right.
But it's not out of fear that they're going to change anything.
Right.
Like I said, it's out of it could be something out of boredom.
Right.
It is nigga shit. It is nigga shit. But I won't rule out that the government may be involved. It may be possible, but it's not because they're afraid of them.
Right. Okay.
We ain't got shit else to do. Fuck it. Let's get these niggas on. Let's see what happens. This reality television at its finest.
Mm.
We'll put this nigga against that nigga. Okay, Sinatra. Yeah. Sinatra, he fits here. Mm. You know, he's going to attack this person. See? And then when we do this, All we have to do is send this letter. All we have to do is send this email. All we got to do is put this post on Facebook or Twitter or Snapchat or whatever.
Right.
And then watch this shit go. And it's just a joke to them.
Okay.
But there's no serious political objective because those organizations are not threatening to the status quo. Sinetta and Zaza Ali and those people are not threatening to the status quo.
Right.
They're just not. Okay. Period. They're just not.
Okay, well, answer this. What do you think about, like, let's go back maybe 10, 15 years ago. Let's think about the state of so-called consciousness in the community, and let's think about it now. Do you think that the overall consciousness of black people is better now versus 10, 15 years ago? Or is it...
No, it's not. It's worse.
It's worse?
It's okay. Worse. Look.
All right.
And I'll use hip-hop as a backdrop.
Okay.
When Public Enemy and KRS-One came out, that scared the hell out of them.
Okay.
You got a group talking about the Black Panthers of hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
Right.
Who Black Panthers? We've never heard of them. And then they flashing these images of Malcolm X when they had branded Malcolm X as just a hate teacher and a demagogue.
Right.
Now you see this intelligent black man with glasses with a three-piece suit chewing up white people and black people in debates.
Right.
And concurrent with this, this is what the conscious community doesn't have. These images are now in wide distribution on record.
Mm-hmm.
Being consumed by white people.
Right.
That's the difference.
Okay.
When you got Public Enemy sampling Malcolm X saying the government will not protect us, defend us, or find those that have brutalized us and made us the victim over the past 100 years, it's time for us to do whatever's necessary to defend ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
When you hear that and white people are saying, you know, that sounds like the Second Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I'm understanding that this system is not exactly fair to people of color. That's a threat.
Okay.
Because now you're influencing white people, and that was one of the main goals of COINTELPRO. They wanted to stop those progressive-minded white people from linking up with the black freedom struggle.
Right.
That's a threat.
Mm.
We hadn't seen anything like that since Bacon and Shays' Rebellion.
All right.
Back in the 1700s, when white people, poor white people, and poor white black people rode on the slave masters and the property owners. That was a threat because it had the possibility of galvanizing both black people and white people, and it gave black people a sense of pride and self-determination.
So
now,
go ahead.
Fast forward today.
All right.
We got strip hop.
Mm.
Music that's fit for the strip club.
Right.
Everything is talking about the trap. Everything's talking about the bitches and the hoes, and women are twerking and bouncing their ass, and although that appeals to us as men, mm-hmm. that doesn't really mobilize it.
Right.
It fills you with that ethos of get rich or die trying.
Mm.
You see, it steers you toward the capitalist ethic of getting money. And if you're in that mode of getting money, you're not in a state of rebellion. You're not in a state of consciousness. You're trying to get money.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, because that philosophy has been promoted for the last 10, 15, 20 years, the state of consciousness is only high among older people. Younger dispossessed people with low IQs.
You there? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. That broad keep calling me on this goddamn phone, man. Shit, she won't leave me alone. Hopefully she'll stop calling. But yeah. Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out, man. You know, it's kind of like and it's kind of hard to gauge because, you know, we didn't really have social media, you know, like 15 years ago, like we do now. And so it's real easy to kind of like look at what's going on, like on the Facebook and on the YouTube. And then you can look at the just the general. Oh, my God. Hold on. I got to stop this recording. Stop this recording. Stop. Start all over. Start all over.
Damn it. Speculations on the guns I hold underneath my furs. Similarities in my voice, nigga, check the words. I'm lifting winter to those that pitch birds from the curb. Dodging and dipping the knock, sister young Frank Matthews, the rap version. Touch my trap on my smack, the gap's bursting. That's certain, leave your face and your chest and your back jerking. Y'all got me fucked up like my Desert Eagle and my sick don't bust right. Like my guns is racing. Motherfucker, don't you know I make your heart stop and your body start shaking? Now you know the bottom line of this rhyme. Crime, 25 to life plus 9. What you gonna do when shit hit the fan? Take it like a man or snitch like a bitch? What you gonna do when shit hit the fan? Pray to God, go hard or lay up in the morgue? What you gonna do when shit hit the fan? Take it like a man or snitch like a bitch? What you gonna do when shit hit the fan? Pray to God, go hard or lay up in the morgue. Evil grin, dead eyes, walking with a bop. Mobster, best way to describe my posture in this world of sin. I'm as wicked as they come, moonlighting as a rapper. Get this ticket and I'm done, ain't enough money here. I'd rather be in the tropics with Corsicans, where narcotics is the only topic. Persian rocks and things, the man that made it snow. Tiger Paw, in every upper form of raw. Since the team been handling, nigga been scrambling. Betting no money in Vegas, gambling. Desert in the abdomen, pissy drunk stallion. Staggering, more than you could imagine in. Thoughts random in, running through my mind. Like who's the best MCs, Biggie, Jay-Z, and Shine. Demented as a youngin', Alpo second coming. Evil thoughts running through my cerebellum. Shine Poe, what the fuck you gon' tell them? All you niggas that wanna be fly, my gunshots will propel them. Leave them somewhere smelling, repelling. Closed caskets for you fucking bastards, come on. What you gon' do when shit hit the fan? Take it like a man or snitch like a bitch? What you gon' do when shit hit the fan? Pray to God, go hard or lay up in the morgue? What you gon' do when shit hit the fan? Take it like a man or snitch like a bitch? What you gon' do when shit hit the fan? Pray to God, go hard or lay up in the morgue? Only the strong survive. Weak niggas bleed and get found with they fucking face down, numb from the waist down. I done been to hell and back twice and still in crack. Stare death in the eyes and never blink. Headshots ripped through my mink. Went to war with the realest killers. Killed friends over jealousy and envy. My heart's empty behind the wheel of my Bentley. Coked up, feeling invincible. About to take over the world. I can't be stopped. Not the feds or the fucking cops. Not even 17 shots could put an end to this terror. I'ma live forever. Cause gangsters don't break. We just get plastic surgery and relocate to another state. Or Allen, smiling, money palin, wailing. Yo, Puff, overdub them fucking violins. This shit is bigger than me, though. Ask Oliver North. Kill you, then use your corpse to transport hearts. Leave your brains hanging from your fucking car window. Any nigga snitching, giving info. Since my mother's stomach, coke and liquor was the mixture. Better be prepared when we hit ya. What you gonna do when shit hit the fan? Take it like a man or snitch like a bitch? What you gonna do when shit hit the fan? Pray to God, go hard or lay up in the morgue? What you gonna do when shit hit the fan? Take it like a man or snitch like a bitch? What you gonna do when shit hit the fan? Pray to God, go hard or lay up in the morgue? What you gonna do when shit hit the fan? Take it like a man or snitch like a bitch? What you gonna do?
If you want a vision of the future, imagine a boot stamping on a human face forever.